We might be in the final quarter of the football season, but that doesn't mean winning season is over. Oh, no. With MyBookie and its cash-out system, you are in control of how you bet and how you win for the rest of the season. Season win totals, parlays, points totals. If you're on the right side, you can get out while the getting is good. Cash out. Use the funds on other bets. Or just let it ride for the chance at a bigger payday. Any way you slice it, you are in control. To get started, go to mybookie.ag now. That's mybookie.ag. Register for an account for free. When you're ready, make your first deposit. And remember to use promo code ZABE. That's Charlie, Zulu, Alpha, Bravo, Echo. And grab a welcome bonus on the house. That's promo code ZABE to claim your deposit bonus. The season is running out, but winning season has just begun. Bet anything, anytime, anywhere at mybookie.ag. Have you heard of Gold Belly? It's an amazing site where you can get the most iconic, famous foods from restaurants all across the U.S. And it's perfect for game day, Valentine's Day, big parties, events, you name it. Gold Belly will ship you iconic Chicago deep dish pizza from Lou Malnati's, the original Buffalo Wings from Anchor Bar in Buffalo, Guy Fieri's unbelievable trash can nachos, real Philly cheesesteaks, or even the legendary Franklin's barbecue straight from Texas right to your door. And with Valentine's Day coming up, they've got great gifts like award-winning dinners from Peter Luger Steakhouse, world-famous macaroons from La Durie, and even the exact cake served at JFK's wedding to Jackie O. I can't wait to order some Lou Malnati's. Getting authentic Chicago deep dish shipped right to my door? Incredible. So whether you're looking to turn game day into an unforgettable experience with friends or want to impress the loved one on Valentine's Day, go to goldbelly.com and get 20% off your first order with promo code ZABE. That's goldbelly.com, code ZABE, Charlie, Zulu, Alpha, Bravo, Echo for 20% off your first order. Every day, companies you've probably never heard of are making billions off your personal data. Name, address, phone number, even details about your family. All being pulled from public records and the internet, and then sold without your consent. There's an entire marketplace making money off your privacy, and most people have no idea it exists. Aura fights back. They remove your personal data from broker sites and keep it off. Plus, they alert you fast if your information shows up in a breach or on the dark web. But Aura is more than just a data broker removal tool. It's a full digital security suite. VPN, antivirus, password manager, spam call protection, and dark web monitoring for your social security number, bank logins, and passwords. And if your identity is ever stolen, you're backed by up to $5 million in insurance and 24/7 U.S.-based fraud support. Other services charge the same, but only cover one or maybe two areas. With Aura, you get all of it in one simple app. Right now, you can try Aura for free for 14 days when you visit aura.com/remove. That's enough time for Aura to start removing your personal information from data broker sites. Sign up today at aura.com/remove and get the peace of mind that your privacy, identity, and finances are safeguarded. That's aura.com/remove. Certain terms apply. Check website for more details.
Third down and 12. Rodgers, time runs out. Ball is out. It's picked up by the Texans and Sheldon Rankins. And he is in for a touchdown. Here's an interception for good measure. It's picked off by Bullock. And Rodgers is in his way, trying to make the tackle. Can't. And it's a touchdown, Texans. And that's going to do it. It is a 30-6 win for the Houston Texans with a dominating defensive performance. The Steelers are finished, and DeMeco Ryan's Texans are moving on.
What's that saying? Of course, things usually end badly. Otherwise, they wouldn't end. Well, for Aaron Rodgers, it ended badly. The ZABEcast is hot and fresh. Let's go get it! Charge joins us from Utah, and don't worry, his beloved song is still coming up. Charge?
Oh,
We're going to play you out to Utah is the place. I just wanted to experiment with a little bit saucier open right there. Texans
like
are nasty. Yes,
I
they
like
are.
That.
See, the great Foreigner with Double Vision, Mick Jones and company. I like this song because it's got what I call a double post. When it settles in and then hits that again, I can swell it up and kind of talk over it. Thing I hate the most in radio is when producers short sheet me, as I call it, where they play the music for like 15 seconds and then they just fade it out.
I'm just
like,
it out.
Like that's like having your dad yank the blankets off of you when you wake up in the morning screaming, get out of bed. Like, give me something to get into a flow on, for God's sakes. All right. Charge, it is wonderful to see you again, my friend. Yes, in the old days.
Thank you. In the old days, I had I would burn a CD that had that could fit like 12 of my favorite songs to bump into. And there was a Charge bumper disc that they kept in the production room. And whenever I needed it, you know, when I was on the air filling in or whatever I was doing, they would just play off of that. And I ran that thing for
at
a decade.
K-Fan.
That one thing.
At K-Fan.
Yes.
So they played
yes.
a CD hot into the board over the air. Prone
yes.
to skipping and glitching and pausing. Like, I'm not sure I'd trust that. But then again, we're talking, this is in the early baby steps of conversion from the analog world to the digital world.
That is correct. So it set. So, you know, there was that. We, you know, back then CDs were common and, you know, but that way I had all my favorite bumper music and you didn't even have to be at the whim of the musical tastes of the producer that
oh,
was
yeah.
with you. And I had very specific things that I wanted. I wanted at least like a 25 to 30 second runway before lyrics so I could talk. I had plenty of time to talk, listen to the music, get into the groove a little bit. The last thing I want is to have to try to talk over the bumper music singer. That's
no, you don't want to be stepping on lyrics. That's too competing for the audio,
yes.
for the listening audience on that. So yeah. All right.
Exactly.
Good to know that. So I begin today's Zabecast with Charge with a question that was given to me via email from a listener. And I'll just paraphrase it here. It was short, kind of the point. And they said, you know, next time you have Charge on, you should ask him about all that's going on back in his home state. I'd be curious to hear his thoughts. Now, I have not asked you about this for one simple reason. One, I believe it's got to be very painful for you because you love your state so much. And number two, there's almost nothing good to be said about it. Now, that
yeah.
said, you were just there, and I am going to give you the floor to say whatever you may want or not say whatever you may want. But you do seem like you're bad luck whenever you go back to visit the state. Tell people your last three visits.
I've been back to Minneapolis three times. Within a day, and sometimes concurrent with me traveling back to Minnesota, we had a church shooting that left several dead and many, many wounded.
Awful.
The first time it came back. Then we had the assassination of the Speaker of the House the second time I went back.
Melissa Hortman.
And her husband and
her
the
husband
attempted assassination.
And their dog, savage murder.
Their dog, right.
Their dog.
Right.
Can we get an update on that real quick? What do we know? The guy was crazy, obviously.
It's so weird how we've had all these different shooters, and then they're just gone. Poof. Gone
well, there's the media
the
has
Trump.
No ability
what about
to follow
the Trump
up.
Shooter?
Oh, yeah, of course. I mean, the media has no ability to follow up and to carry on. Things happen, and then the river of content just flows swiftly, and it's washed down the river. So that was the second time. And then this time, we had the incident with the with Rene Good and the ICE officer.
That's
Jesus.
Right. That's right. So that's all going down. So, you know, and here I was thinking this was going to be safe. I had a group that was going to go to Manny's downtown. And most of our group decided the night after this is, so this is the hours after that shooting. And most of the group was like, we don't dare go downtown. We're nervous about what might happen downtown Minneapolis in the aftermath of the shooting. Now I decided to go and I just took my parents and we had a lovely meal and it was not a problem, but Manny's was pretty quiet. You've been there, Steve.
It's
never quiet.
Never quiet. You have to fight your way in for a reservation or know somebody like Charge. That knows the manager there. and the owner there. So, yeah, that sucks. It sucks for Manny's. It sucks for downtown. Sucks for everybody. A very horrible, horrible incident.
Now,
and your perspective on the horribleness.
They can actually staunch. They can staunch the fraud in Minnesota. That would be huge. They can actually do it. I don't know if they're going to be able to or not. But it looks like there's, you know, at least there's an effort being made to try to do that. And, you know, unfortunately, Joe Thompson, who was the federal prosecutor who had been leading the whole charge on this, he just today, as we are recording Tuesday, he just resigned. And that's not good.
Really? The federal prosecutor?
The federal prosecutor, because nobody in Minnesota was ever going to prosecute this.
Oh, no. No. This is how it got to such proportions. So, yeah, that's not good right there. I think it's going to be very difficult because you're talking about billions and billions of dollars that were benefiting powerful people in certain places, and there's going to be an intense effort to maintain this honeypot that they had opened up for themselves because they're not going to give it up easily. And so that's going to be not willingly. And that's going to be a real challenge. And it is dismaying to me, I don't know about you, that so many otherwise law-abiding, rational people cannot get their heads around saying, this is wrong, we have to stop this. Period, full stop, no explanations, no sort of socioeconomic rationalizing, just holy shit, we gotta stop this. This will bankrupt us. Economics doesn't care about your liberal arts degree, right? It's an ironclad science. It is. Money is money, budgets are budgets, and you don't get to fudge around actual numbers. So it's tough, man.
The part that I understand least about all of this fraud is that to me, in my world, in my way of thinking, say, the people who should be the angriest and should just be outraged are the people who believe in taxation for a cause and that the government can be an agent for good to bring money, relief, and help to the people who need it most. And you would think the people who I have seen the funds for autistic children, for elderly in need, for the hungry. I mean, these are all the people who got defrauded. You would think the people who would be most angry are the people who supported where the money was going, and it didn't get there because it was all being stolen by people who were buying Porsches and vacations and land in other countries. And you would think they would be outraged, but they're not.
Suitcases of money leaving Minneapolis St. Paul Airport to Somalia that were stuffed with cash that were detected by TSA. It had to be very heavy, obviously. And the TSA was told to stand down. Like, yeah, no, don't detain this. Just let it flow out of the country. Like, how that isn't a radicalizing bit of news for 99% of the population is beyond me. Because half the population seems to be either fine with it or they're like, yeah, but still, side point A or side point B.
Yeah.
I also sent this to Charge. I'm going to put this up here on the screen. I sent us a picture. Somebody took a Time magazine cover from 1973. And on the cover of Time, the headline is The Good Life in Minnesota. And it's Governor Wendell Anderson.
Anderson, yeah.
I don't know if you remember him. You were 5 years old in 1973 like I was.
I don't remember him. I know him by name because I think he was a two-term governor. His name comes up from time to time. But I don't, you know, he was before my time.
Look at old Wendell. He's holding up either a walleye or a pike. I'm not smart enough fishing-wise to know the difference. But it's one of them long, big fish that you got up there in your 10,000 lakes.
I believe that is a walleye.
Okay. Yes. How do you tell the difference, by the way?
That's a big walleye.
Because of the spots?
Mm-hmm. The shape of the head.
Oh, that's how you do it, huh? Okay. I'll have to go get a primer on how to detect the two of them. Not sure where that's ever going to matter in my life, but I just want to know. So yeah, there he is. Just, you know, hearty old Governor Wendell Anderson, flannel shirt, a red turtleneck, a broad smile, full head of hair, guy in the boat behind him with a pipe, 1973. The article says politics is almost unnaturally clean, no patronage, virtually no corruption. The citizens are well-educated. Yep. The high school dropout rate of 7.6% is the nation's lowest. Minnesotans are remarkably civil. Yes, you are. Their crime rate is the third lowest in the nation after Iowa and Maine. By a combination of political and cultural tradition, geography, and sheer luck, Minnesota nurtures an extraordinarily successful society. Time Magazine, 1973.
And it was that way for a long time.
Yeah.
And that was the Minnesota I grew up in. And it was that way in the, it was that way in the 70s, the 80s, the 90s. And it's only been the last 15-ish years when everything started to decay. And now that state is just, it's just rotten right now, unfortunately. Yeah.
Even if they were able to staunch every penny of fraud right now and tamp down all of the immigration-related discord, like literally if you could triage it to the point of nothing right now, the brand damage, the brand damage that the state has taken will take a generation at least to recover. And I hate to be a dick about this, but you also don't have the weather in your favor up there. I'm just saying.
No, I do not have the weather, although it is better. I mean, global warming is a thing. It's, you know, it is warmed. It's better than it was when I grew up, but still it's.
So has it been was it relatively mild when you were up there compared to what you're used to?
It was. That was in the 30s when I was up there. I brought a deep winter jacket. I haven't worn a jacket yet in southern Utah. I've worn a vest, not a jacket. So dusted off the big winter jacket. That didn't need it. I just ran around with no coat.
All right, let's get to the game last night. The Texans choke out the Steelers. Yeah. Aaron Rodgers, last game, maybe, we assume, his last pass, possibly a pick six. That Texans defense, absolutely nasty. Their offense is about as ugly as well in the other direction, but defensively, nobody's got two better defensive ends or two better corners. And so when you combine the best two edges who work together and the best two corners who work together, good luck doing anything against that unit.
So that's the question when you watch the Houston Texans. I mean, clearly they can win every game with their defense. So there's your path to go win the Super Bowl. Then you get to and win the Super Bowl. But the offense, I mean, sooner or later, your defense is going to, God forbid, give up 17 points. And then can your offense get you to 18? And this offensive line has been barely good enough to get them do what they have to do to get enough points. The offensive line is a very big question mark. Now it looks like Nico Collins may have a serious concussion. That looked bad. And his availability unclear here. And so that leaves your wide receiver group is Jalen Higgins and Xavier Hutchinson and Jalen Noel and Christian Kirk, who had a out of the blue weird big game. It must have been a slot thing. They must have loved their slot matchup. So I don't love the Texans' chances of advancing past. I don't even think they're going to win this week against the Patriots.
I would honestly bet against
the Patriots are a better overall team.
What is that number right now? I'm going to look it up for you. The other thing I want to talk about on the Texans front, then we'll get to the fact that Tomlin is stepping down. That came down just today.
Yeah,
and what Rodgers is going to do. I want to talk about the Rodgers overall arc of his career. You were on the wrong side of Rodgers for many years as a Viking fan.
Oh,
and unlike Favre,
long time.
Unlike Favre, who you stole like a vehicle that was left unattended and drove it around on a wild ride. Ride with Favre. You didn't get that ride with Rodgers, but we'll get to them in a second. On the Texans front, CJ Stroud is ass.
Ugh.
I mean, reliable ass. The Steelers defense has shored themselves up from what they were in the middle of the season when they were terrible, but there's still nothing really to fear. And he just made dumb play after dumb play, caused turnovers that he shouldn't have caused, fumbles, picks, missed guys. And he was the dude who after less than 1 year was whispering in the ear of Caleb Williams in a, hey, keep your head up. You're going to be great in this league, a patronizing way.
Yeah.
It's like, okay, bro.
He had one of the great rookie seasons of all time.
He did.
Trout. I mean, you can't look past that. You know, he got to the playoffs. He had a 3-touchdown wild card game in his rookie year.
Yes.
And then got his ass handed to him by Baltimore, but he did that. Then, you know, let's remember they also got to the playoffs last year as well and won a playoff game. CJ Stroud, he has not played particularly well for much of this year, but again, if you want to make excuses, his offensive line is bottom five in the league. And if they have any, idea what they're doing in Houston, their entire offseason is devoted just to the offensive line,
right,
so they can give CJ Stroud a better chance of success.
Line in the game, Patriots -3 right now. The other games, we know the schedule now. I was highly critical of the NFL for holding out until this game was decided, because it clearly was a case where they wanted to put Rodgers, if he advanced, in prime time again. And so they're waiting, and they're like, all right, shit, we got to put the Texans somewhere. Saturday, it'll be Bills-Broncos. Broncos are... what are you laughing at?
Well, they got to put the Texans somewhere.
Oh, okay. We must be on a big delay because I've already moved on there. Bills-Broncos Saturday. Buffalo is a road favorite, -1.5. I had to read that twice to see that correctly. Niners-Seahawks, Seattle is -7.5. One must wonder, are the Niners finally out of luck and or bodies? Because what they're doing is ridiculous given the number of players they've lost due to injury. Then Texans-Patriots on Sunday afternoon, New England -3. Rams and Bears will be your final game of the weekend, starting at 6:30 Eastern, 5:30 Central. Rams -3.5. It will be near zero by the lakefront. One of the coldest games in Soldier Field history. So there's your games right there.
They're saying
there.
One of the 10 coldest of all time coming to Chicago, and might be the coldest playoff game in Chicago history.
Mm-hmm.
And you would think the Rams wouldn't be particularly well suited for that. But, you know, if it is bitter cold, everything compresses and shrinks, and you don't see as much of the downfield passing, and you know, everybody's running slow. If this thing comes down to a running game, man, I love the Bears. I love the Kyle Manungai Swift combo. They can run block really, really well. And Stafford's got the big arm. Maybe he can just like break through on a 0-degree day. He can deliver some downfield lasers. And maybe that's going to be the difference, but I love Chicago I love the Chicago running attack in this game. And I think that's ultimately how Chicago is going to end up winning this game. But Rams are favored by 4.5, but I think the Bears are going to win. I would take the Bears side of this. So Rams they've got the big names. They've got Puka Nacua. They got Devontae Adams, Matthew Stafford. But I think the Bears have the, I don't know, rule out the Bears at your own caution at this point, right, Zabe? I mean, you know, given everything that they have done and the ways that they've managed to win games, which feels totally unsustainable, and yet here they are with 7 of these last-minute wins. Bears, man, I'm ready to believe.
All right.
On the Chicago Bears.
This is probably going to be a clip and save if or when I'm wrong. I think the Rams are the easiest money I've seen in 20 years. Laying 3.5.
Wow.
That might sound like bitter beer face from being a Packer fan, that you're just not wanting to give the Bears credit. I believe if Stafford's finger is good to go and shot up with all kinds of whatever jugs they need to shoot it up with so it's good, Puka and company should tear the Bears secondary apart. And I've seen the Rams operate.
Their secondary is awful.
Yes. I've seen the Rams operate in very cold weather with absolute competence. In other words, they don't just shrivel because, oh, we're from LA. We don't even wear socks. What is this cold? Now, people will take under 40 degree weather stats and then do the win-loss record. And I think there's some value in that. But a team can play well and not be affected by the weather and just lose for other reasons. And so I think, because I've seen the Rams in recent vintage play very well outside in the cold, I think they'll be ready for this one. But that's why they're going to play it. It'll be the last game of the weekend. Let's get back to Rodgers and Tomlin for a second.
There's a temperature at which everything points don't get scored in the NFL. And I haven't done the research on it lately, but it is right in the range of this kickoff where you're sitting in the 0-degree range. And historically, nobody scores. And I think that's in the Bears' advantage if it is a low scoring. If it's a low scoring game, I think that works to the Bears in the Bears' favor. If you can't get a downfield passing attack going because your players are moving in molasses on 2 degrees, I think that helps the Bears here. But you are right that the Bears' secondary, I mean, Puka Nacua and Davante Adams against the Bears' secondary is an epic mismatch.
We might be in the final quarter of the football season, but that doesn't mean winning season is over. Oh, no. With MyBookie and its cash-out system, you are in control of how you bet and how you win for the rest of the season. Season win totals, parlays, points totals. If you're on the right side, you can get out while the getting is good. Cash out. Use the funds on other bets. Or just let it ride for the chance at a bigger payday. Any way you slice it, you are in control. To get started, go to mybookie.ag now. That's mybookie.ag. Register for an account for free. When you're ready, make your first deposit. And remember to use promo code ZABE. That's Charlie, Zulu, Alpha, Bravo, Echo. And grab a welcome bonus on the house. That's promo code ZABE to claim your deposit bonus. The season is running out, but winning season has just begun. Bet anything, anytime, anywhere at mybookie.ag. Yep.
If you're an HVAC technician and a call comes in, Grainger knows that you need a partner that helps you find the right product fast and hassle-free. And you know that when the first problem of the day is a clanking blower motor, there's no need to break a sweat. With Grainger's easy-to-use website and product details, you're confident you'll soon have everything humming right along. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
You're a pro at running your life, at committing to your workout, at showing up every day. At Bombas, we're pros too. Pros at making socks. Our sport assortment has specialized socks for whatever sport you're committed to. Running, hiking, golf, Pilates, and so much more. Made with sweat-wicking yarns, blister-fighting details, and targeted arch support. Bombas Sport is pro-level socks from the pros of socks. For another pro, you. Go to bombas.com/audio and use code audio for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com and use code audio.
Let's get back to Rodgers and Tomlin, because Tomlin stepped down today, and I got people coming at me on Twitter when I joked about, I was reliably told on here that firing him would be A, crazy, and B, not going to happen. Well, what happened? He wasn't fired. He stepped down. I'm like, okay, whatever. Distinction without a difference. But we'll get to Tomlin in a second. On the Rodgers front, where do you think he'll rank in the broad scope of history amongst the all-time great quarterbacks? And let me preface that with, do you think he's done? Because he hasn't actually said he's done.
Okay. Is he done? I believe he is done for now and will not play a game unless there is a good team that wants him late summer. I don't think he wants to go through training camps. I don't think he wants to do jack shit in the offseason. I don't think he wants to study a playbook. I believe we are not going to hear anything from him for a long time. And I believe that he will just, if there isn't a great opportunity to walk into, he will just, that'll be it. I think he'll just won't play again. But I do believe there's a scenario out there where there's a good team that has something horrible happen to their quarterback. And he's ready to go and go. I wouldn't surprise me. He's played well enough, Zabe. No matter how much you may dislike Aaron Rodgers, and I know I've struggled with him. He was top half of the league in quarterback ability this year, I believe.
So you think he's not going to say anything about his future and let people just kind of do their speculating because that's what he likes to do.
And he might love that.
there is a possible role for a guy like him to stay battle ready, to be able to drop in as sort of a kingmaker as teams suffer attrition during the season and absolutely need a very smart seasoned quarterback that can still spin it as long as he's got good protection like Aaron Rodgers. There's a role for that type of guy. Few people have really tried it intentionally, but what if Rodgers said, oh, I'm going to still be working out. I'm not signing with any team in September or August. I will be ready. And if an opportunity arises, believe you me, I wouldn't mind hopping in that car for a team that needs me if the situation is right and seeing if I can't win some games.
I think that's the if I had to place money on it, that's the deal that I would take right there. I think he'd like to be courted in the summer. I think he'd like to be part of the mystery of will he, won't he, all off season. I think that's going to be the case.
Okay. Top five quarterbacks in the Super Bowl era. That's an arbitrary cutoff point. That does include some quarterbacks early on that were playing under a vastly different set of rules and a league that was nothing like what we know today. But I don't want to go back any further than that because there's no way to go, well, how was Otto Graham? How was Sid Luckman?
Yeah. Otto Graham.
You know, how was Johnny Unitas compared? Like, you just can't do that. I think number one is Brady. Duh. And if you want to argue my duh on that, just argue to a wall because I'm not going to have it. My number two is Peyton Manning.
Nobody will.
Okay. My number two is Peyton Manning. My number three is Joe Montana. My number four is Brett Favre. And my number five is probably Drew Brees. Which will not be greeted well by some.
So Aaron Rodgers not in.
Aaron Rodgers
not in the top five.
Well, the problem with Rodgers is that Brady exists and played alongside him, and Brady has six. Rodgers has one, and Rodgers was only in one Super Bowl. And there's a weird.
But Brady's won. So you're already conceding one to Brady. He is the clear number one. So even though they played in the same era, which by the way, to Aaron Rodgers, didn't help Rodgers that he was playing then. Had he been playing, 5 years on either side of that, it would have helped him.
Let me knock Favre out and let me put Rodgers in Favre's place. Rodgers was the most technically proficient at the position during his peak 7 or 8 years.
Four-time MVP is insane.
Right. I know.
Insane.
But the only winning one Super Bowl
is number two.
To only win one and only be in one speaks to a larger element of what he lacked, which was the ability to rally his troops to overachieve when needed.
Ugh. I don't know about that either, because as a Viking fan, man, the fourth quarter, 90 seconds left, Rodgers was freaking lethal.
Okay.
Lethal.
But my point is, when the gap between your individual accomplishments and what you did as a team gets wider and wider, which it is incredibly wide for Rodgers, it speaks to a lack of something. Brady had something that kept all of his teammates accountable, which is part of the position of quarterback in the NFL, in my opinion. It's not part of the on-the-field X's and O's, playing it, throwing it, spinning it, everything else. It's a larger leadership type of thing. Brady exists. Rodgers played right next to him, and the difference between the two when it comes to winning is vast. And Rodgers had many great regular season show pony teams that just once they got to January. And so I kind of put that on his bill, so to speak. He's still top five, though. As far as me liking him, the whole way he left Green Bay, the way he left Green Bay just kind of broke me on him. Because I was, when I started doing the show in Milwaukee, I was like, Rodgers today, Rodgers tomorrow, Rodgers forever. Play him until the wheels roll off.
Yes.
And then start over. If it takes a couple years, fine. Don't ever get rid of a guy like that. And then he got to be pricklier and pricklier and more of a dick than ever. And then when they finally, you know, we're asking him, so you coming back next year? Because we did pay all this money for a couple more years of football.
Yep.
And he pretended like his phone didn't get reception in Malibu to avoid the GM, who just wanted to have a professional talk with him about what are your plans. I was like, fuck you, I'm out. I can't be part of this. I don't care about the ayahuasca thing.
Okay, but
I don't care about the immunized vaccination thing. All I care about is he was an unprofessional dick at an important moment. And whenever people notice that he takes shots at the Jets, because he said, you know, it's great to be here in Pittsburgh this year, so much great tradition, history. I'm just so lucky I got to play for two franchises like that. Conspicuously omitting
<That's right.
laughs> the Jets.
Well, that's correct.
When people go, oh, look at him dissing the Jets, I always have to say, yeah, but he picked them. He willingly went to the Jets when everybody knows with a brain they're an open sewer of a franchise. He went there and he bought in and he wrote this thing on social media the night before his Achilles went on opening night in New York, which was so sappy. I got to find it. Somebody, I'm sure, my many vast, helpful, willing volunteers of Zabe Nation will find the actual post. But it was this syrupy post about, man, I just feel, looking at the New York skyline driving home tonight, I just feel like I'm right where I need to be and everything in life is right where I want it and I'm so blessed and humble and happy. It was like this homage to everything is great. Yeah, well, now it's like he can't stop talking shit about the Jets. They're the Jets, dude. You went,
all right.
You dated the Jets for 2 years by choice.
Well, sure. It didn't work out. But I like that he was honest about how shitty a time it was in with New York. And I'm glad that he just spoke candidly about it. Great. I like that. As for your Packers.
By the way, he was part of the part of the shittiness. You know that. He was the guy that insisted they overpay for scrubs like Alan Lazard. And he got his boy Randall Cobb one more contract. Cobb.
Yep.
You know,
that's totally fair.
Right.
Okay. Totally fair. But that they didn't have to do that, but they did it. But I agree. That was not
well, good. That's the thing. Rodgers likes to pretend like all the shittiness and suboptimal moves by the Jets were them, not him. And anyone who watched knows that's not entirely true. Okay. The floor is yours.
Roger had the Packers just bit their tongue and stayed with Rodgers like you originally urged them to do, they would have more playoff wins the past three seasons than they've gotten out of Jordan Love, which I believe is zero.
Well, no, they won a game. They won the Dallas game with Love, and they've lost three other games.
Thank you. One.
Here's the thing.
I think they would be more than they would have more playoff wins with Aaron Rodgers at the helm had they just stuck it out.
And you're talking about not drafting Love in the first place in 2020.
No.
Oh.
I am not. Okay. I am saying you keep Love, you know, or you know, either in either scenario, either they kept him or if they did just let Aaron Rodgers keep playing because he was still playing at a high level. He continued to play at a high level, played well this year, played well last year. If they had just kept with Rodgers, Packers would have won more playoff games, and who knows?
Well, I don't think he would have stuck around. I think he had finally had enough because Love was knocking at the door of being a starter. It was 3 years of him sitting around.
Yeah.
And so I don't think at that point it was salvageable, Church, just judging by the way things were going. You might be right, though, if they had just not drafted Love and supported Rodgers and done everything else differently. I don't know. The one thing that I always get some shit for, but I will die on this hill, as good as Love is, and I believe he's really good, he had a phenomenal game against the Bears, just some dummy receivers dropped balls that were right in his hands like Jaden Reed. It was suboptimal to use a first-round pick and get zeros for three straight years. I don't care about how much he learned under Rodgers or anything else. First-rounders need to produce right away, in my book, in the NFL. If your first rounder is not producing and he's not injured, you did it wrong. So the opportunity cost of taking a quarterback in the first round, sitting him for 3 years, taking a zero on that pick, is suboptimal and has to be factored in. And I will die on that hill.
It does. Now, we've opened the door to a tantalizing scenario for a Vikings fan. Where? Here's Jordan Love. He's the highest paid, or the second highest paid quarterback in the league. He just helped torpedo your team and help your team blow a 21-3
halftime lead. He didn't
blow
that lead.
And an
did you watch him play? He had four touchdowns and no picks.
I thought he played fine.
Okay.
He didn't. Go ahead. It's not heroic, and it's the Packers defense has more fault.
Go ahead.
But then Malik Willis. He's heading off to go be some team starter. There is a scenario that's going to play itself out where Malik Willis has the better career from this point forward than Jordan Love, and it will be delicious. Delicious.
Okay, Charge.
Charge,
hold on a second. Yeah. I just found it. Here's the receipt. Your clown suit has been pressed and ironed, and it is ready for you to wear. That is a clown suit. Take, but enjoy wearing it.
Can I just will it to happen?
Whatever. Same. Whatever makes you happy. Will it to whatever happen. Can we get to Tomlin? So Tomlin is stepping down. He is not being fired, according to reports. The Steelers will have his rights. They could, in theory, trade him. He will have interest from some other teams. Not sure if he wants to jump right back in right now or take a year of duty on television to look even smarter and funnier and pithier than he does in his press conferences, then get hired by a team next cycle. But the bottom line is it was time to move on. And I stand by my sarcastic joking about, oh, I thought everyone said it'd be crazy to move on from Tomlin and that it's not going to happen. I mean, that was the league-wide sentiment amongst all the experts, all the high-paid reporters that like to just fawn over Tomlin when other rational people, and shit, 70% of Steeler Nation were exasperated going, we got to move on from this guy. Like, we're the Steelers. We have more Super Bowls than anybody. What the hell? We have higher standards. We are mired in mediocrity, and the coach has become mediocre since Ben retired. That's what the average Steeler fan was saying. So
you're wrong. Here's why I would have kept Tomlin.
Oh God.
He has kept your team competitive, playing with 44-year-old Aaron Rodgers,
mm-hmm.
whatever Russell Wilson is, 39-year-old Russell Wilson, Kenny Pickett that, you know, he didn't draft. Some GM drafted Kenny Pickett. I don't remember who the GM was then. Kenny Pickett for 2 years. And then the bitter end of Ben Roethlisberger and Mason Rudolph. His quarterbacks over the last 7 years, 8 years have been bad. It's so hard for any coach to overcome that. And yet Tomlin has had his team in the playoffs, had his teams over 500. They haven't achieved greatness, but they did when he had a quarterback when they had Ben Roethlisberger, when he wasn't ancient, they did achieve greatness. I think they're making a mistake on Tomlin, and I think the likelihood that they get a better coach, unless it's Harbaugh, which would be amazing, the likelihood of them getting better coach than Mike Tomlin is like 10%.
Couple more things before we let you go. You had a run-in with a gate agent recently that you would like to tell us about.
All right. You've been to the St. George Airport. It has three gates.
Tiny.
It is.
Adorable little airport, but I was shocked at how strict some of their ops people are.
Correct. Maybe you ran into something I did too. So twice this has happened to me. Now, here's what you need to imagine for the St. George Regional Airport. You walk inside the front door and there's TSA. I mean, it's like 10 feet in front of you, 10 yards in front of you. Because it's a tiny airport. So, and there's no waiting. You just walk right through TSA or you take a right before TSA and you can go over to the desks for the various gates, like the Delta desk.
Right.
I needed to check a bag because I had an oversized bag that I knew would not fit on the little puddle.
Well, even standard carry-ons do not fit in the Puddle Jumper
Correct.
Regional jets. So that's troubling flying out of the airport. You're checking bags you would normally carry on. Go ahead.
That's right. Although, you know, I don't know how much can really go wrong with that, but so I go to check my my bag, and the gate agent at the Delta gate, not at the gate yet, but at the desk, is just on a power trip. He says, I can't take it. It's 30 minutes before we're within 30 minutes before the flight leaves. We can't take bags. And I look at my watch. It's 30 minutes right now.
Hold on. Time out. You told me this story already. Are you saying this has happened again?
Again. Oh, same Jesus. Guy. Same guy. So I was sure what's to be his, there within 30 minutes.
What's his name?
Yeah.
Let's name and shame. Come on.
They don't
now.
Wear name. They don't wear name tags.
Got it. Okay.
So, okay. Now the plane itself, the physical plane itself, is about 30 yards behind the airport, right behind the desk. And when you go over to the gate itself, they're tagging everybody's regular size carry-on luggage, and you can't do that. They're taking the luggage at the gate. So I say, I'll just take this to the gate and let the gate agent put it on like carry-on. He says, no, it's too big. We're not going to let you. Like, you can't be serious.
This is crazy because you're right. Because you're right. The plane is truly 50 feet at most on the other side of the wall on the tarmac waiting for you to walk out and climb right. up the stairs.
Exactly. It's this now. The 30 minutes makes sense at LAX.
Yes,
it makes sense
at, where it's got to go at, through some right? kind of Byzantine up and down conveyor belts. It won't make it onto a truck. The time to get you could have walked your bag onto the plane in under 60 seconds from where the guy was saying,
"Correct,
nope, we can't do it." Okay, continue.
And they're still taking oversized bags at the gate. So I'm like, oh. Fine, I'll go to the gate. So I go over to the gate. They scan in my thing, and they scan in my boarding pass, and I'm starting to walk out of the airport to get on the plane. Gate agent says, "Oh, I just got a phone call. I have to stop you. We're not letting your bag on."
Oh my God! You
gotta be kidding me. The jackass from the death called the gate agent to make sure they blocked my bag. So now I've got a rival in my little town airport in this.
So
this
what happened to your, did you miss your bag. Flight? Did you leave your bag sitting there on the tarmac?
So it's me. It's my wife, Roxy. It's my daughter and her boyfriend. There's four of us now that all get affected by this. Cause now I can't get on the plane with my bag and there's no later flight except out of Las Vegas.
Oh my
God. We had to stop everything, drive to Las Vegas to get a flight to Minneapolis.
Did you not raise holy hell, start screaming and saying, this is absurd. You're being ridiculous. I'm trying to get on this flight. Maybe even risking getting handcuffed and thrown in jail and put on the no-fly list for the next 50 years. You surely had to like make a big deal of this. No?
No. Roxy decided cooler heads were going to prevail and she was going to just find a solution. And so I huffed off.
Solution?
I huffed off to
driving an hour and a half to Vegas. That. That's a solution?
Two and a half.
Two and a half.
That was the.
So, okay. So.
And.
Yeah, you have to, okay, here's, I rarely advocate for this, but you have got to get this guy fired. This is war, Church. He is a clear combatant and will be in your life for as long as he holds that job. You have to rattle every saber, every chain, every doorknob up the food chain at the St. George Regional Airport, at the airline he works for. You have to go as far as you can. He's got to go. This is outrageous.
It's outrageous. So he is my new enemy for life. You haven't yet found out how I'm going to get justice. on this Delta Gate agent.
Anyone would like to recommend? Anyone like to recommend a way to legally, nonviolently get this guy fired because he is clearly a menace who just wants to mess up people's plans? Let us know. What have you done in your career traveling to rattle cages corporately with particularly obstinate flight attendants, gate agents, ticketing agents, you name it? Because there are bad apples who are in these positions of authority who love to flex that authority when their whims suit
them,
right, or when they're having a bad day. And they cannot be permitted to stay in those positions. They're a menace to the flying public. So let us know about that.
Completely agree. Yep. Talked to a friend who's a flight agent for Delta, flight attendant for Delta. And she was like, he didn't have to do any of that. He did it all out of just sheer spite.
And why didn't the gate agents ignore the guy and say, yeah, no, we're letting you on with this bag? Like, whose authority? He has the ultimate authority over the gate agents and the pilot? Like, who made him the boss of everything?
Pilot doesn't have anything to do with it, I don't think. But
do you know pilots have the final go, no-go on flying? You ever heard that?
No, but I'm not surprised. They should, right?
Right. So there was recently a story about a pilot who was going to fly to Hawaii, and people were on the plane, and they're waiting to take off, and the pilot comes on the intercom and is like,
"It's Packard speaking. Got to be honest with you folks. They say that this plane is fit to go, but I don't like some of the oil readings I'm seeing on engine right, and I just don't really feel it right now. And so as my authority, I'm going to be able to refuse this plane. And so that's what I'm going to do. Very sorry for the delay, but don't know what this is going to do to everyone's plans. But, you know, we're going to be over water for 5 hours, and I just don't feel comfortable doing it. Thank you."
And that's it. The flight's canceled. The pilots have the final say. And while I would have been pissed off in the moment, and I would say most flights, I'd be thinking, fuck it, just fly it. I wouldn't want to fly it to Hawaii if the pilot himself was feeling dicey.
Right. Yeah, correct.
Because he knows how the sausage is made inside the sausage factory of aviation. He knows whether or not their maintenance records are truly up to date, how good their maintenance is, et cetera, et cetera. We've gone so long, knock on wood, without a major commercial aviation disaster in this country. Our aviation has never been safer. And I guess it's partly like this. I'll end on a airline thing as well here. Did you see the tweet I sent you about Delta? Delta Airlines recently had their earnings report, and they reported record profits, $5 billion in profits. And they made that $5 billion this year while selling over $1 billion less of economy seats. What you would think would be the bread and butter of any airline, the masses crammed into the tube. No. They said, fuck you to $1 billion of revenue from the people in the middle seats. And they made $5 billion this year. And those analysts that look at the airline industry are saying, this is why Spirit is out of business, JetBlue is wheezing, Southwest is trying to reconfigure everything they do to save themselves, that airline travel has split, where the wealthy who are buying the better tickets, they're thriving flying good airlines like Delta, and then everyone else, not so good. What'd you think about that tweet? And you had another thing to add about Delta.
I do. This is people paying $100 extra to go to Comfort Plus for an extra 4 inches of legroom and unlimited snacks and the ability to board 5 minutes earlier. People will pay $100 because you get you get 10% of that first class experience that you would not normally pay for. There's a lot of money in that. The other thing, the stat I saw in Delta specifically about a month ago, Zabe, and I think you and I might've talked about this in passing when we were together. The percentage of Delta's revenue that comes from ticket sales, would you care to guess?
Percentage from ticket sales?
Yep, ticket sales.
I would imagine
butts in seats.
I would imagine 80%. That's what they do, is they sell tickets. They don't have a subscription service. They're not running restaurants. Not like the Delta Diner is big money. 80%, easy.
12%. One out of eight years of their revenue is that. It is their credit card is insanely profitable. I use it. It is things like upgrades. It is the Delta Lounge. It's hotels. I mean, all the things are connected to. Butts in seats is 1/8 of Delta's revenue.
That's insane.
It's an amazing business.
So they're
it is insane.
So they're a credit card company with a bunch of airplanes, essentially.
Yes. That's what they are. They're a credit card company with airplanes. You got it.
Oh, my God. Got it. Here is your anthem, Church. It is a banger. It's an earworm. You know it. You love it, people. Utah is the place. Church is so happy there. A little lonely, but happy.
Utah, people working together. Utah, what a great place to be. Blessed from heaven above. It's a land that we love. This is the place.
Just don't look at the Jazz's record. It's a little ugly right now.
Yeah, although, that's not good. Although we're going to turn into Mammoth fans here.
Yeah, I was going to say, how are the Yeti doing? Oh, wait, the Mammoth, yeah, not the Yeti.
The Mammoth, yep. The Wild are finally good. After I've left, it's 30 years of waiting for them to be good. They're great now.
But you lost.
Dave, I got to run, my man.
Okay, buddy. I'll see you. Thank you, Church.
Thank you.
See you.
Great show. Bye-bye.
We might be in the final quarter of the football season, but that doesn't mean winning season is over. Oh no. With MyBookie and its cash out system, you are in control of how you bet and how you win for the rest of the season. Season win totals, parlays, points totals. If you're on the right side, you can get out while the getting is good. Cash out. Use the funds on other bets. Or just let it ride for the chance at a bigger payday. Any way you slice it, you are in control. To get started, go to mybookie.ag now. That's mybookie.ag. Register for an account for free. When you're ready, make your first deposit. And remember to use promo code ZABE. That's Charlie, Zulu, Alpha, Bravo, Echo. And grab a welcome bonus on the house. That's promo code ZABE to claim your deposit bonus. The season is running out, but winning season has just begun. Bet anything, anytime, anywhere at mybookie.ag.